This medical update on KRDO News Radio is sponsored by Optum.
It's our Ask the Doctor segment now here on KRDO's Morning News. We bring it to you every Tuesday just about this time. And this month we are focusing on sleep awareness. March is Sleep Awareness Month. And Dr. Hazem Ubaisi joining us once again. Dr. Ubaisi, good morning.
Good morning, Shannon. Did you have enough sleep last night?
Well, sadly, I think the answer could be I never get enough sleep. But last week we were talking about, you know, risk factors and prevalence of sleep apnea, obstructive sleep apnea. And this is for people who actually do experience some sort of interruption in their sleep due to with their breathing. Is that correct?
Correct. So obstructive sleep apnea is repetitive disruption of breathing when sleeping, with either completely stopped breathing or significant reduction of the amount of the air that the patient inhaled that caused drop in the oxygen level. Absolutely correct.
What does sleep apnea then do to you in terms of, you know, I guess a domino effect of medical outcomes here?
So obstructive sleep apnea is one of the most common sleep disorder and well-studied. So we have enough evidence to know that obstructive sleep apnea is associated with impairment of the quality of life, increased risk of depression and anxiety, suicide ideation. It affects the cognitive function significantly. So basically the productivity, the ability to pay attention to the memory, the execution of the task get compromised when the patient have obstructive sleep apnea. So it's also some evidence that it is associated with increased risk of early dementia. We know that there's a significant increase of the percentage of motor vehicle accident, prevalence of incidents of the motor vehicle accident up to a three time for the population of obstructive sleep apnea compared to the population who doesn't have obstructive sleep apnea. And also obstructive sleep apnea is associated with increased risk for cardiovascular risk factor and diseases, most notably is hypertension and stroke.
And if you, I guess, how do you find these cases? How is a person diagnosed?
The patient presents to his PCP or to the sleep specialist, usually either with a complaint of fatigue, sleepiness, or poor quality of sleep, waking up gasping or choking. A significant percentage of the presentation is based on the observation of the bed partner, who says that, hey, listen, I see you sleeping and you snore very loud and you stop breathing completely and what's wrong? Other incidents, the obstructive sleep apnea question come to mind when there's a medical issue that raise that flag, including obesity, hypertension, atrial fibrillation, irregular heart rhythm. Those are a combination of factors that trigger the patient to present to their doctor, and then the question is, okay, do we think that this patient could have obstructive sleep apnea or not? And if the answer is maybe or yes, then it's absolutely worth it to proceed with a sleep study, which basically, in layman term, is a test that measure your oxygen, your breathing, and your sleeping, depend on the complexity of the presentation based on how many medical issues the patient have, and how complex the sleep disorder could be. This sleep study could be done at home or in the lab. And after that sleep study, most of the time, we can say definitively if the patient have obstructive sleep apnea or not and how severe it is, and that determines what we do next regarding treatment.
Well, we do want to tackle that. Dr. Ubaisi, we need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll finish up with that question, if that's okay. We're back with a continuation of our Ask the Doctor segment focusing on sleep awareness. And specifically today, we're talking about sleep apnea. We talked about the diagnosis, but now let's talk about the treatment with Dr. Hazem Ubaisi of Optum. Dr. Ubaisi, how are patients who are diagnosed with sleep apnea, how are they treated?
Shannon, that's a great question. The treatment for obstructive sleep apnea could be accustomed to the severity of the case and to the patient and their lifestyle. But the first line of treatment continue to be a positive airway pressure device. For a listener who have obstructive sleep apnea, we know somebody who have obstructive sleep apnea, they know something called CPAP or BiPAP or APAP. And to make it simple, it's basically a device. It's a small device that sits next to your bedstand, was connected to a tube to a mask, and that mask could be fitted. They come with hundreds of size and shape and form. That mask sit over your nose or under your nose or your nose and mask. And the job of this device is to provide air pressure, very, very low air pressure, to splint the windpipe open from inside so the patient does not have those episode of obstruction or stopping breathing or slowing down breathing when sleeping. This invention, this treatment, have the most evidence behind regarding how the patient tolerate and what the benefits that come from it. It started in the early to mid 80s. And most of our patients, this will be their first option. There's other options that the patient could consider if they wish, or if they don't tolerate the positive airway pressure device, which include a dental device, which is custom-made device that's made by a specialist for the patient that the patient sleep with, and its job is to advance the lower jaw a little bit forward to open up the space behind the tongue so the patient does not have any episode of obstruction. Other treatment option will include surgery, and there's many kind of surgeries. This is, again, custom made to the patient. We do not proceed with surgery unless we exhausted CPAP or we see a specific reason that the patient will benefit from surgery to their nose or to their airway that allows them to tolerate CPAP better. The surgeries that really work for obstructive sleep apnea is pretty aggressive. It's basically advancing the upper and lower jaw forward to open up the space behind the tongue. And we rarely go that far to treat obstructive sleep apnea because there's other numerous options. Most recently, the FDA had approved a device called Inspire device, which basically a small pacemaker inserted in the chest cavity under the skin, and I'm sorry, not the chest cavity, the chest wall under the skin, and its job is to stimulate the muscles in the neck. That their job is to keep the windpipe open, and this device is also very effective, and we could use it for in specific situation for specific patient when CPAP doesn't work or could not be tolerated, CPAP or BiPAP, or the other kind of positive pressure machine. So there's numerous options to treat obstructive sleep apnea. They start primarily most of the time with positive airway pressure device, and there's other options as I mentioned. If the obstructive sleep apnea is very, very mild, or is this, let's say, is exclusive to the patient sleeping on their back, some patients, they only have obstructive sleep apnea, and those are the mild cases usually, when they sleep on their back, and they do not want to use anything to treat obstructive sleep apnea, we could advise positional therapy to prevent supine sleep, which basically will treat the obstructive, will eliminate the chances to have obstructive sleep apnea in those unique circumstances. In general, drinking less alcohol and weight loss is always helpful to decrease the severity of the obstructive sleep apnea and the symptoms associated with it. So we advise that to almost all our patients. Numerous options to treat. The first step is to know if you have obstructive sleep apnea or not, and that starts with seeing your doctor, talking to them, and let them with you make the assessment if there's enough concern to proceed with a sleep study to answer that question.
All right. Well, Dr. Hazem Ubaisi, giving us so much information, but very valuable information, especially if you suspect you or a loved one may be suffering from sleep apnea or be having just problems with your sleeping. For more information, you can visit cosprings.optum.com or also contact Dr. Ubaisi and his team at 866-6627. This is our Ask the Doctor segment on KRDO News Radio.